Welcome to the Dreamcatcher Podcast, a place where you'll receive a boost of inspiration, practical advice, and tools to maximize your success and personal happiness. And that's not all. You'll also get plenty of guidance on how you can use your gifts, talents, and compassion to contribute towards making the world a better place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a preview of what's in store and to also receive a free ebook. To sign up, simply visit www.thedreamcatch.com. Now it's my pleasure to introduce you to the host of the Dreamcatcher podcast, Celine Chinoy.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a Dreamcatcher interview podcast special. The great French philosopher Pierre Teilhard de Chardin once said that we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. Many of us do believe that we are on a spiritual journey that involves growth and learning, but we face challenges in understanding the purpose of our journey and how we're meant to use our time and energy in a meaningful way. My guest today, Ainsley MacLeod, is an expert at helping people reach this level of understanding. Ainsley is an internationally acclaimed past life psychic, spiritual teacher, and award-winning author of books such as The Instruction, The Transformation, and most recently, The Old Soul's Guidebook. He specializes in exploring past lives to reveal our life's purpose, and has been a featured guest on Oprah's Super Soul Conversation series. As a fan of Ainsley's work, I was delighted to hear his thoughts on various topics about the soul. During our conversation, we speak about the role of free will and fate when it comes to our destiny, and how past life memories affect our current circumstances. Ainsley also shares his view on popular topics such as soulmates and how young and old souls can work together to create a better world. You definitely don't want to miss this exciting episode. Hi, Ainsley. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Celine. How are you?
I'm doing perfect. I want to start out by saying that I'm so excited to have you on the show. I've read both your books, The Instruction and The Old Soul's Guidebook, and I've had so many breakthroughs about my life and my personality. So I'm looking forward to talking to you about some of those concepts today.
Yeah, well, I look forward to giving you some insights and so on. Yeah, there's actually three books. There's another one that focuses very much on past lives as well.
Oh, okay. But, okay.
The two you're referring to, I talk there about things like soul age and soul type and influences,
yes.
Which are to do with the personality you chose for this life.
Yes, yes. Okay, so let's get straight into it. In your bio, you mentioned that you were an illustrator before becoming an author and expert on the soul and past lives. How did you make the transition towards doing the work that you do today?
Yeah, I was a cartoon illustrator for about 20 years, and I drew things like Chester Cheetah for Cheetos packs, and did some big clients, and I got to a point where I discovered this work. I had a couple of epiphanies, and I so wanted to transition out. It was kind of weird because I think. You know, a lot of people recognize this, that sometimes it looks to other people like you've got a great job and, you should be very, very happy with what you're doing, but it's not where you're meant to be. And, you've got other dreams or other things that you're meant to be focusing on. Sometimes there's a, finite amount of time that you're meant to be spending and doing a certain thing before moving on. And so it was in my soul's life plan, if you like, to move into the kind of work that I do now, which is, working on the soul, past lives, and reading people and writing books and so on. And I had a couple of major epiphanies, but the really big one that got me started on this completely different path was when I was in a bookstore in Hawaii was about 20 years ago, and I was just there, you know, taking a little vacation. I'm wandering around a bookstore in a kind of altered state, and I suddenly encountered my uncle. I mean, he's like a foot away from me, which was a little bit of a surprise because he'd been dead for about 10 years at that point. So it's kind of like suddenly he's there. And I was like, I mean, it was just, you know, monumental for me. It was like the moment, I mean, the spirit world had been trying to get my attention for years. Psychics were always telling me I was psychic and should be doing something with it. And I was always joking, well, I wouldn't be talking to them if I was psychic. And you know, I didn't recognize it myself. And finally, you know, he was there with a message. He only appeared to me for about a second, but the message was longer, and it was about, let's work together, talk to me as a spirit guide. I'd kept hearing from psychics that he was acting as a spirit guide, and I thought he was the last person to do that kind of thing. But then again, I thought I was the last sort of person to be doing psychic work. But I actually just, it was about 10 days later after meeting him that I just thought, well, let me give this a try. You know, as crazy as it seems, just to be in a sort of empty room, just kind of talking to invisible spirits. I thought, well, mm-hmm. I keep hearing it from other sources, and this encounter with my uncle was really kind of, that was the one that got my attention. So I just started talking and invited him to talk back, and we got a slow moving conversation going, and then he handed me over to spirit guides I work with now and have been working with for about the last 20 years.
Did it scare you at all at any point speaking to these entities?
No, the funny thing is, sometimes when you think about it, you think, oh, it's a bit weird.
It's a bit creepy.
Something. But yeah, but when you're actually doing it, no, it's just, it doesn't, I never felt that at all. I mean, I certainly acknowledge that it's a very odd thing to be doing. I sometimes have to catch myself and go, you know, this is really weird, you know.
Yeah.
I work with spirit guides all the time. So, you know, I have to watch sometimes, you know, others drop into conversation with somebody, you know. Yeah, I was just saying to my spirit guides the other day, or they were just telling me such and such. And I realized, yeah, that might come across as just a little bit odd.
Right, especially when you're dealing with skeptics and people who really don't believe in all of this. I'm sure that they don't really buy it.
Well, you know, people have often asked me, you know, how do I answer critics or skeptics? And the answer is, I just don't bother. This is something I learned from my spirit guides very early on, is that I'm not in the business of trying to convince anybody of anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I, you know, present information in my books, but, you know, take it or leave it. It's not my job to change your mind or your belief system or whatever. It's just, you know, present the material, and if it speaks to you, it does, and if it doesn't, that's fine.
Yeah, that's a healthy attitude to have, and
I
agree with that.
I certainly, when I first started doing this work, you know, I was so excited about it, and I wanted to share it with anybody who would listen, and you know, I was telling my family, you know, and realized they were never going to be interested in this kind of thing. They just, you know, thought I'd lost my mind, you know. And
yeah.
And I realized that the more I tried to convince them, the more I just kind of like, you know, was on a hiding to nothing. So
yeah, sometimes our families can be our biggest critics, you know. So, and that's always hard to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's when you discover something that's so important and you want to share it with people, and they're just not open to it, is a bit frustrating.
It is.
But, yeah. You know, I had to learn to let that go. They're just not at the same place.
Absolutely. Yeah. They must be a different soul age or a different soul type as you talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Or just, you know, and sometimes it's just the culture or just, you know, your background and so on. It can make it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's just not an acceptable topic for conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. And what is the difference between a young and an old soul? I mean, because that could definitely play a part in how much they buy into this belief system.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I'm very clear that the people that I'm trying to reach that I am reaching are old souls, and these are souls that have had a lot of experience, a lot of incarnations. That's just quite simply how you become an old soul. It's to do with experience and the number of times that you've incarnated, which for a very old soul might be 110, 120 times, you know, 120 lifetimes. Wow. over space of maybe 6,000 years, say, going back and forth between here and the astral plane, which is where we go between lives. So when you're talking about a young soul, you know, we've all been there. If you're an old soul, you've been a young soul. And young souls just they lack the experience of the older soul, and it comes across in different ways. If you think of the soul's journey as being one from a place of fear throughout its many lifetimes to one of love, you just find that the older the soul gets, the more accepting they become, maybe a little bit more altruistic and maybe more compassionate. It's not totally gotten dry, because, you know, just because you're a young soul doesn't mean that you're not able to express higher values, but it doesn't necessarily come quite as easily. It's just a lack of experience. I mean, if you're looking at sort of real black and white sort of thing, it's like the difference between somebody who's you know, really racist and somebody who's just accepting of people of all colors, because that, you know, by the time you get to be an old soul, you've probably worn every color skin and been in every part of the world, and you realize that we're all just souls underneath the surface. But for a younger soul with less experience, it's harder to see that.
And what steps can we take to understand each other better? Because obviously, I mean, there will be differences in ideologies. So is there a way to bridge the gap?
Well, I think that respect is a way to really bridge it, because, we hold on to our beliefs very dearly, and we see the world in a certain way, and it's so much dependent on the age of the soul. I mean, it really, that's what shapes our perspective more than really anything. But those beliefs are, you know, very dearly held. So, you know, if somebody starts criticizing your beliefs or, you know, railing at you for them, you cling even tighter. So that's not the way to, you know, really open the dialogue or get some place of understanding. But I think even though I found, you know, working with people over the years and, you know, getting feedback about my books and so on, that a lot of people found it very helpful to understand the whole principle of soul ages, because it helps them deal with their family. You know, when they realize, my family are younger souls.
I can attest to that. I can attest.
Right. You've been there, yeah. Yes. Yeah, and, you know, for example, the older soul gets, you know, it does show up politically, you know, like, you know, you're going to be a little bit more progressive. The younger soul does tend to be more conservative, a little more fear-based. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you see those obvious differences. And I think just, you know, being aware that, you know, that's just, you know, it's a difference amongst us. I think that really helps. I think it's important, too, not to just kind of shrug your shoulders and go, oh, well, young souls, what can we do? Because, you know, when they get their, you know, our hands on power, for example, and we have you know, quite a young soul administration in the U.S. right now. That doesn't mean you sort of like, you know, just go, oh, that's fine, you know, off you go do your young soul thing. It's like, you know, as an old soul, it's important to, you know, lead by example or show a different way of being or try to guide the younger souls, and certainly to stand up for the underdog and, you know, do things that are coming from a place of greater compassion and love.
Okay, so kind of to just balance things out, we just, you know, old souls should just do their part, and hopefully the young souls would catch on.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a big part of it. You know, what happens with a lot of young souls is that they get dragged. Old souls can be dragged to a sort of younger place. Because we live in a sort of more predominantly young soul world, you know, younger soul values. And, you know, we don't, you know, Fox News, I think of us being the archetypal young soul sort of hangout. And, you know, that sort of stuff is blaring all day, and it's very easy for old souls to start to doubt their opinions and beliefs, because, you know, they're exposed to a lot of young soul values as well. So it's very important for old souls to really stay true to who they are. And really, I talk about this in my books about the spirit guides will call them paths or goals or core values, but they're these really important things that the soul is trying to learn from all its many incarnations. And these are things like, you know, peace, truth, freedom, love, mm-hmm. understanding, and so on. There's really 10 higher values there. And that's what we should be, you know, expressing at all times.
Right. Another topic I really want to talk to you about is about the issue on our destiny. Now, there are some people who believe that we control our destiny, and there are some who believe that we're merely the pawns of fate. What are your thoughts on that? How much of a say do we have over our life path and our ability to influence it?
Well, we have a lot of power. And in fact, you know, I work with these spirit guides who will say all the time, we all have more power than we think we have. And that, you know, comes to shaping our destiny. So I actually write a chapter about this in my new book, because it's such an important thing to understand. You know, I'll hear from people, you know, they'll say, well, you know, I understand that, you know, I'm meant to be going through this. You know, it's almost like I am a victim of fate. And in fact, what you're meant to do is, you're never meant to sort of like stay as in a victim type place. For example, I've had clients who've literally been in dreadful situations, but they felt there was some kind of, you know, cosmic, you know, purpose behind it. You know, I'm meant to get some lesson here, when the lesson is usually about self-empowerment and getting out of a lousy situation into something better. So what we have, we have a life plan, all of us, and we all have a purpose. We're all here for a reason, and it's all contained in this life plan. You know, part of what I say, your life plan, your destiny, is not a secret. You know, it's an idea that is kind of like, oh, really, you know, it's all sort of shrouded in mystery and so on. And somehow, you know, only certain people have access to this. And I think that's nonsense. I think we just don't know what to look for is the problem most of the time. But our destiny is kind of, something that we can figure out, which is, you know, why I've written my books, and particularly my last book, you know, focusing on that. And so, what we do is we have an outline. We have a blueprint for this life, and that's contained in the life plan. And it includes things like our entire personality, because it's one of the most important things.
Yeah, because that facilitates our destiny, doesn't it? Our personality.
Yeah, I mean, who you are is why you're here, mm-hmm. and your soul type. So this is what talk about in both, you know, first book and the most recent. And that really helps you to understand who you are, and then that leads to understanding why you're here. But when it comes to this free will versus destiny thing, it's really important to recognize that your soul knows all the time where it's meant to be going. It knows what's in your life plan. You have spirit guides who are helping you to achieve that. But you have to take action.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just sit there and wait for the universe to somehow magically make everything happen for you. And I think that's a problem sometimes when, you know, even with manifestation, you know, people are just kind of putting it out to the universe and hoping something magically happens, instead of realizing that you are a co-creator. You're collaborating with the spirit world all the time to make things happen. So you have the free will to get things done. You know, your soul and your spirit guides can nudge you in the right direction. They can, you know, bring certain people into your life and so on. But as they will say to me, they can't pick up a phone, they can't write a letter, they can't, you know, take action. That's your that's your part. So really, if you want to get things done, it's the most effective lives are those where you're really working with the universe and you're clear about what your destiny involves, and you're taking action to make it happen.
Yeah, but I think, Ainsley, the challenge here is that people sometimes find it hard to understand what's right for them, you know, because you have, you know, voices from the outside world. We have our own fears. I mean, like, I'm speaking from my experience, like when I was younger, it was hard for me to know what was right for me, even though I had the intention. I wanted to know which path to follow. I just had all these other voices distracting me. So I think that is the challenge that most people face. It's about knowing what's right for them.
I think that's absolutely it. I think, you know, we come into this world with a life plan, but people then, they want to change us, you know, and it can be in the most well-meaning way, but we can really lose track very easily of what it is we're here to do, largely because of other people's expectations, you know, parents, teachers, and society itself. So, you know, it can be a challenge, you know, getting to that place where you can really understand, you know, who am I and what am I doing here? You know, what's my purpose? And, but there are ways to kind of speed that up. And like I say, first of all, if you know what you're looking for, that can really help. And that's part of what, you know, my most recent book is about, you know, so you can really, get a sense of what, you know, what will tell me about my destiny. There is another sort of major problem that we live in a world that is so sort of hectic and noisy.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are not, you know, they're not able to tap into really that, you know, making that connection with the other side and getting the support because they're not allowing that quiet time to happen. You know, meditation, I mean, so important, comes up every day in my work. And the spirit world will always repeat it three times. They'll say meditation, 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 because it's so important. And when people are saying, well, how do I access my soul? How do I talk to my spirit guides? How do I tap into that small, still voice of guidance? Well, it starts with meditating or finding a quiet space. But, you know, we live in such a crazy world. You know, it's like there's noise, chaos, people and everything. It's very hard to find the tranquility that you need to really be able to connect.
Yeah, I think people just really need to slow down and create that quiet time to tune in. I think that is essential.
I think absolutely essential, yeah. And, you know, because, you know, I talk about how people, you know, they wake up with the radio on and then they're with people all day and working and noise, come home, switch on the TV, and then go to bed and wonder why they're not hearing their spirit guides. But, you know, it's like, got to give them a chance. You know, help them. Go and sit on a quiet beach or something, or, you know, find a little space in your home, you know, where you can have a regular connection with the other side. But, yeah, you know, meditation, focus, and that sort of thing really helps.
Yeah. I mean, I've tried meditation, but what I found really helpful for me are like using oracle cards. Those also help me a lot.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If there are tools that help, there are lots of little things that help because one of the things you can do is to take the soul has, you will have past lives as a contemplative. You'll have past lives as a monk, priest, nun, whatever, you know, where you have that more contemplative life, a little more connected to the other side, however you perceived it. And you can actually tap into those sometimes by just having some quiet space and lighting a candle. You know, there's little associations with the past or some incense. You know, there's a reason that we use candles and incense is because they have an association with past lives. And that allows us to tap into times sometimes when we had an easier connection. It's always worth trying.
Right. And in your new book, the Old Souls Guidebook, you actually speak a lot about past lives and the importance of understanding them. Could you please tell us a little bit more about how our past life memories affect life issues like low self-esteem, unexplained ailments, and irrational fears?
Oh, absolutely. I honestly believe that past lives explain everything about us. And there's almost nothing about any of us that isn't past life related. even, you know, us talking about the personality you choose, that's all past life related. You learn to be a certain kind of person from certain kind of activities, and then you're able to tap into that now. Fears, phobias, limiting beliefs, even a lot of physical ailments are all related to past lives. And, you know, you're asking about low self-esteem. Something like that could, it usually comes from a past life where you were treated as if you had no real value. Mm-hmm. You could have been just a sex object to somebody, or, you know, a really downtrodden servant or slave or something. And then in this life, what people are trying to do is look for what happened in childhood or an earlier part of this life. But if you're not aware of what happened in another life, you're missing a huge segment. Because what can happen in this life is usually not so much the cause as the trigger for what's like a pre-existing condition. So if you're coming in with this fear of inferiority, and it gets triggered by perhaps put downs from your parents or something like that, and it really doesn't take very much at all to trigger a past life issue, then you're going to be struggling with self-worth issues for decades, maybe. One of the fastest ways to resolve that is to do past life work. In my sessions with people, one-on-one, what I do is I just find out what happened in the past life and talk to them about it and watch the healing happen. And sometimes physical ailments, if they're related to past life, they just shift really, really quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had people with chronic backache healed up within a few days. Somebody I talk about a lot, she had been beheaded in a past life, which is related to neck and shoulder pain. And her neck and shoulder pain disappeared in the moment. Like the moment she heard about the past life, the soul was able to let it go. And 20 years of chronic pain just disappeared. I'll see things with migraines being related to head trauma in a past life, abdominal issues being related to being shot in the abdomen or something. There's just all sorts of ways that, you know, I'll see past life and I'll see a certain kind of injury or ailment and ask the person about it. Do you have a problem with your left shoulder, or do you have this sort of issue? And there'll be something, you know, where, and even it can be birthmarks or pain or something, but we carry those memories through, you know, often many, many lifetimes until it can get resolved. If you don't mind me telling you about a past life that you had, I'll just show you a couple of ways that would show up. You had a past life, and I think it's probably it must be the last life before this one. You were at the end of World War II in Germany. You were a child. It looks like you were a boy. I think the family probably died in the war. Looks like you were on your own. There were huge feelings of abandonment, rejection, and you never recovered from it. Mm-hmm. And you went on, and you had a very dull job as a civil servant. Okay. Major feature of that life was boredom. You also used alcohol to kind of deal with the lack of happiness, I think, overall in life. It was just an unhappy, disappointing life, pretty much from start to finish. In this life, there's a number of things that are showing up that are directly related to that. Mm-hmm. One is that you kind of got trapped in a very sort of narrow little field. You know, you're going to work, you're coming home, you're getting drunk, and really just it's the same sort of thing every day. What your soul has chosen for this life is that you have a lot of freedom. Mm-hmm. It wants to have you explore the world. I imagine travel is a big thing for you.
Yes, absolutely.
It's associated with a mission for exploration as part of your life plan. Mm-hmm. So that sort of tells me, you had that life, which is almost like being in a little prison of your own making. You know, you never really broke out. You didn't know how to deal with it. And a lot of disempowerment. And one of the ways that will show up is that you want to not only be an empowered person in this life, but you want to empower others as well. it's karmic to do that. It's a spiritual act. The other thing, and I've noticed this with people who've interviewed me before, is that almost all seem to be working through some past life issues around rejection. This mm-hmm. has to do with abandonment in a past life. But one of the ways that the soul will deal with that is to not only urge you to belong, whether it's through family or organizations or groups of people or friends or whatever, but to be somebody who brings others together. Mm-hmm. And it's actually turned out to be a motivation for a lot of people to, you know, get into sort of broadcasting because you're drawing in a tribe. Mm-hmm. And you also have, because there was such a feeling of disappointment in that past life, you're learning all the time. I mean, you're growing. And you have as part of your life plan what's called a desire for immortality. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you want forever, but it means you want to create a ripple effect or leave a legacy mm-hmm. or feel like you're doing something bigger than yourself. Mm-hmm. And all these things are kind of major motivators. So that sort of all makes sense?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I'm just taking it all in. It definitely does. It explains a lot of things. Yeah.
Yeah, and these are motivations to be doing the sort of thing that you're doing. There's different ways of working through these things. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, doing what you're doing right now is not the only way that you could work through it or find ways to manifest different aspects of your life plan, but it's a great way to do it.
Yeah, I feel like once I started doing this work, I definitely felt a massive shift within me, and I could definitely feel it on a soul level. And I changed as well. I definitely changed, and I started seeing the world differently. So, it just clicked, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it's you know, sometimes when you're really on the right track, this is how you know it.
Yeah.
That it just kind of feels like you're going with the flow or you know, you wake up in the morning looking forward to doing whatever it is. It's all consistent with your life plan, with your life purpose.
Absolutely. And something else I wanted to talk to you about was, this is a very popular topic, Ainsley, you know, and that's soulmates and twin flames. There's so much talk about this. I just want to know your take on it. Like, what are soulmates and how do we recognize them in our life?
Well, this is actually something else that I write about in the new book. Because, it's just something everybody wants to know about.
Yeah.
And so the way it's presented to me is that we have a soul family. We all come into the world. Maybe, you know, it's a few thousand years ago, say, we come in with a bunch of other souls. And I won't go into all the sort of esoteric detail, but, you know, we kind of come from this larger consciousness and into individual bodies on the physical plane. And then we go through multiple lives, you know, finding different bodies each time. But the soul, each soul is seeking out, especially as you become an older soul, you're seeking out members of the soul family to share the journey with. So you might be seeking to work through some karma, some issue from a past life with somebody that you've known before who's from your soul family. That sort of person is what is called an old friend. An old friend is a member of your larger soul family who you've known before, you've known in a recent incarnation or a previous incarnation. A soulmate is going to be an old friend, but it's also someone with whom you have an agreement, a romantic agreement. The thing about soulmates that I think is so important to understand is that nothing is carved in stone, because people think when they meet a soulmate, if there's something wrong, you know, like the chemistry is not there, they sometimes think, well, maybe I need to work at it because this is my soulmate. But you can have multiple agreements with souls, because from the time you made the agreement, a lot can change. Mm-hmm. You know, people can develop all sorts of problems. They're not, you know, soul had the best of intentions, but, you know, things are not so aligned now. And so, you know, this goes to that sort of free will thing. You know, you're not somehow, a victim of your destiny because this is a soulmate and if you miss this one, you'll never have love in your life or something. Like I say, we have multiple agreements. So, because otherwise you could break up with somebody when you're 18 and, never have love again for the next 50 years. Mm-hmm. You're meant to, if one doesn't work out, what the soul does, it will create another agreement elsewhere, or maybe there's another one already in place. So, you recognize a soulmate usually with, it's a sense of familiarity.
Mm-hmm.
You meet somebody and feel like, kind of known you before. Sometimes there's a weird thing, you meet somebody and you start talking and you find that you have a friend in common. That can be because they're part of that larger soul group as well.
Okay.
It's like, oh, what a coincidence, but it's mm-hmm. not really. My spirit guides don't really acknowledge the term twin flame. What they do talk about is sometimes that we meet this, and it sounds really weird and terribly esoteric, but sometimes mm-hmm. we can encounter a soul that's really, it's another version of our soul, because your soul can be in multiple places. You might be in five different places.
Really?
And it's very weird. You wouldn't be aware of it, but every so often it doesn't happen very often at all, but two souls will come together, and it's really the same soul. You would think, what an amazing connection, this twin flame idea, fabulous intimacy like you never known. But in my experience, which has been very limited because I don't see it very often, it's not really a recipe for success. Mm-hmm. It's usually that these two have come into their lives because one or both are needing a change. So they come in to act as a catalyst. Sometimes it can be like a little bit of a rebound relationship or something that's designed to initiate change. And then very often after that, the job here is done, can move on. Sometimes they don't, but I've not seen this work out so well. Although romantically it sounds like, oh, what a wonderful thing to meet this twin flame. I kind of wouldn't particularly wish that on anyone. I think, it even can be a little bit boring.
Right.
But, you want to, ideally as an old soul, you're wanting in a relationship to be with somebody who you've known before, because you're trying to get to a really deep place of intimacy. The older the soul, almost, the more it's wanting to go to that place. It's what it wants to be, really, to able to open up its heart, the heart chakra, and be with somebody in a very trusting, loving, an open relationship. And it's much easier to do that with a soulmate than it is with another soul that you've never encountered before.
That makes sense, Ainsley. But we know that on an intellectual level, that is a healthy relationship. That's what it's supposed to be like, and that's what you should seek. But what if you're drawn to somebody and there are complications, but you really can't, it's difficult to make it manifested in the material world, what would you do in that case? But you're still drawn to this person. Is it because of some unresolved karma, or how does that work?
Well, it can be unresolved karma, and it can be very compelling.
Yes.
Like you really feel very, very drawn to that person, and yet there can be all these challenges that come up. And, again, it goes to the free will thing, because, it has to be, ultimately, you're here to make your own decisions and figure out whether you want to make it work or not. The problem is that we get into negative patterns in relationships. We often draw the same kind of thing in. And, I see that, for example, a person who was always marrying alcoholics, I was one of those. And, I see that as a very common pattern. Or, I spoke to somebody today who's in this is a very common thing where somebody's working through some of these past life fears and is choosing relationships that are fundamentally flawed in a certain way. So they don't have to, deal with the you know, the
intimacy.
Actually, there's a search for it, but there's also can be a fear around it as well. And so you'll see like a, you know, theme where that person comes in, but they can't put both feet in, you know, one foot in the relationship and one foot out.
Right.
And that can be very difficult if you're an old soul looking for that deep intimacy, but you keep finding people who are emotionally unavailable or even geographically unavailable,
right,
as well. You know, so it's they're long distance or they're all currently in a relationship or some sort of difficulty like that. It's really about, I think the important thing is to recognize, you know, if you see patterns, you know, what are you doing to manifest this and what are the lessons? I think one of the most important things that I've ever gotten from my spirit guides is that they talk about how the experience is not the lesson. The lesson is what you draw from the experience.
Mm.
And there's always a positive lesson, no matter how negative the experience or how difficult or challenging the experience. So when you think of it that way, you know, what's the lesson? If you find yourself in a situation that's intolerable, you know, maybe the lesson there is that you need to be making different choices, or that you maybe you need to empower yourself and, you know, move on. Or maybe there's a big lesson in, you know, working through something. And it can be also very important to look at what's your part in manifesting this. Because, again, if you see patterns, well, the one person who's creating that pattern is you. And it's sometimes we think we're the victim of circumstances. We don't recognize, you know, how much we're actually creating our own reality.
Right, so these relationships are essentially mirrors, and we're supposed to look at them and say, what is this telling me about myself and my journey?
Well, they can certainly do that. Yeah, absolutely. We're often drawing in experiences that we need, but we often draw them in after we need them. The challenge can be, and this is why you'll see a pattern emerging, is that you're not drawing the lessons. You're not seeing what you're meant to get. So, of course, what the universe does is it just keeps presenting the same kind of thing over and over again. I mean, sometimes I'll even see this. It's not just in this life that a person keeps getting involved with somebody who's abusive, or maybe they're cheaters or whatever, you know. But I'll see it going from past lives as well. And there's been a number of times when I've told somebody about a past life and they've stopped me and said, wait a minute, are we talking about this life or a past life? Because the parallels are enormous.
Mm-hmm.
And when that sort of thing happens, what really the soul is doing is creating a repetition, but it's looking for you to find another way out.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe in the past life, you just went into this passive place and you put up with abuse. You find yourself in a really challenging situation now. Well, the lesson would be like, well, how do you take care of number one? Look after yourself and, you know, protect yourself from situations like this.
Right. So yeah, it's really about having that intention to work on your soul growth and be conscious of how all these events are impacting you. I think that's important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, you know, it's the importance of things like meditation, because, or having that quiet time, because a lot of times we're not processing.
Mm-hmm.
Journaling as well can be a hugely important thing, because we're not looking for these lessons and, you know, mulling it over and coming to some sort of analysis. We're kind of just blundering through life, and here comes the same sort of thing. But the more you can process, the more you can avoid getting into negative situations, and you can get, you know, and specifically to learn from experiences. I mean, you can do it anytime. It's just to look at major events in your life and just say, well, what are the lessons? What can I take from that? Or even if this came up again, how could I do things differently?
Yeah, and I think it's just about getting some distance from it, because when you're in it, you're totally entangled in the emotions and you can't really, you know, see it for what it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. If you're in it, it's very, very, very hard.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes, you know, it does take a little bit of time, or it takes things like, you know, journaling to get it out of, you know, stop things just swirling around in your mental hard drive there. You need it down into storage.
Yeah.
And that helps to process it.
Yeah. For me, it's running. Running really helps me process things. I don't know why. Maybe.
Yeah, well, that's to do with, I can tell you exactly why. It's to do with in your soul types, you know, and if the personality you've chosen. You have in there, like, there's an aspect. It's a, like, hunter part to you. Okay. You've had very active past lives. For somebody who's very active, when it comes to meditation, sometimes sitting there, trying to clear your mind is the hardest.
Yeah, it's hard. It's very hard for me. I've honestly tried a lot. I cannot stick with it. And I'm pretty disciplined, so, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you start getting into that sort of hamster wheel kind of thing, you know, like you just kind of, you know, you're running and you're just getting into that rhythm, you can go into a meditative space.
Yeah, that's what happens.
You can have whole conversations with the spirit world if you like.
Well, yeah. Listening to music also helps.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I mean, meditation is you know, a different thing for different people.
Yeah. And
like I say, not everyone can just do that or easily just sit down and, you know, clear their mind. But, you know, sometimes just doing some sort of activity, you know, it distracts the sort of left side of the brain, if you like. It makes it a little bit easier to get information coming through.
Yeah, but it seems like you enjoy meditation and journaling and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm in a practice of doing it. I mean, I've been doing it for years, and I've just found it, you know, I'm talking to the spirit world every day, you know, for hours at a time, you know, on behalf of clients. And so it becomes just a, you know, what I do. I mean, it's just, you know, I start every day by bringing my spirit guides in and having a little quiet time, a little discussion about maybe some things that are going on in my life. And that's, you know, sort of kind of thing everybody should be doing, ideally.
Yeah.
Just getting some tranquility and making that connection.
Right.
A lot of people, they say that, you know, I'm not hearing my spirit guides. And it's like, well, you know, give them a chance. You know, they've got nothing else to do but talk to you, you know, about what they're doing. But sometimes we don't give them the chance. We're not creating that tranquility in our environment or in our minds that allows them to come in and work with us.
But how do we know it's them, Ainsley? How do we know it's them talking to us and not just some random voice in our head?
Well, I went through that when I first started doing it. Connecting with the other side. And so what I would do is I would check out information. You know, I'd go online and check out something that I'd been given. I practiced for about 3 years with talking to the spirit world before I ever read anybody. I didn't want to screw up, you know.
Yeah, like, you want to get to know them.
I practice the point where the spirit guides are going, for goodness sake, you know, you need to find somebody to read, you know, you're overly cautious here. And I think just getting into like a routine, how do you know it's not your imagination? It's being doing it regularly. You just know Well, things pan out, you know, like you get a sense of something, you ask a question, you get an answer, and then maybe 6 months down the line, you realize, oh, that was the perfect piece of advice, or there are things that you would have never thought of yourself. And that was some of the things that helped me early on was, you know, I couldn't figure out a logistical problem, and then, you know, I got an answer from the spirit guides, and it was like, oh, wow, how could I not see that? Or, in fact, one of the things in the early days was that I would keep a dictionary beside me because I would get words that were not in my vocabulary. And I'd look them up, and I go, damn, that's the most appropriate word. And it's like, you know, that you know it's not coming from you. It's a word you never heard before.
Right, right. And you're from Scotland, right? They speak.
I am, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And do they speak Gaelic there, or that's?
Well, the most place in English speaking country, but my father's side of the family, they all came from the west coast and the islands.
Okay. I've been there. It's beautiful.
Gaelic. Yeah. So all my family, I don't speak Gaelic, but the generations before were all Gaelic speakers.
Okay.
In fact, my grandmother didn't learn English until she was sort of in her 20s.
No.
Yeah. So, I don't speak a word of Gaelic myself. Yeah.
Now, that's what I was going to ask you, if you were getting words from another language. So.
No, the only thing I will get sometimes, the odd French word, but it would be ones that are in general usage, that we're familiar with, or a Latin phrase or something. But I don't pick up anything. I wondered about this when I first started doing it. Well, spirit world is talking to me in a language that I understand, and it has shifted from time to time. The information I would get was maybe in American English for a couple of years, and then it was more sort of English. Then, mm-hmm. But I've never had it coming through in,
that's for sure.
I've never had it coming through in German or Italian or anything. It's just, the spirit world is communicating with me in a way that I'll understand, and
right.
that my clients will understand as well.
Wow. Okay, Ainsley, that brings us to the end of our conversation today. It's been a true pleasure to have you on the show and, learn more about the soul. I appreciate you making the time to speak with me and my listeners today.
Well, it's just been an absolute delight. It's been lovely talking with you.
Yeah, before we sign off, could you please let us know where we can find out more about you, your books, and your services?
Absolutely. Well, the new book is called The Old Souls Guidebook. And so oldsoulsguidebook.com, so go there. AinsleyMacLeod.com is my main website, and that is AinsleyMacLeod.com. And I have a membership program as well at soulworld.com. So I'm heavily booked up for one-on-one sessions, but I have a membership program, which is a great way to connect.
Yeah.
And lots of classes and past life regressions and lots of exciting things going on there.
Great. Thank you so much, Ainsley. You have a wonderful day.
Well, thank you so much as well. It's been great. Thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely. You take care.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye. Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed what you just heard, please subscribe to my podcast and feel free to share it with your friends and family. Take care and speak soon.